least they divide those terms across the blue. Be reading chapter 16, verse 19-30, trying to have better Scott. Can you stand as the first read? Luke chapter 16, beginning verse 19. There was a rich man who would dress in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. But a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, was lying at his table. He longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dog cut up his little sores. One day, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment at Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off, with Lazarus at his side. Father Abraham, he called out, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony at this place. Son, Abraham said, remember that during your life you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, while you are in agony. Besides all this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot. Neither can those from there cross over to us. Father, he said, then I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers, to warn them, so they won't also come to this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And he told them, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded of some violence. Okay? Jesus has been addressing our need to follow what Scripture says. And he talked about you can't serve both money and God. And then he started talking to the Pharisees. And it tells us in verse 14 that the Pharisees were lovers of money. And when Jesus was telling them the truth, they were scoffing at Jesus' words. And they thought they were better than Jesus. They knew better. Like a child goes to college in their sophomore year. They know everything. And they don't mind telling everybody, no matter how old they are, and they have the answers to everything. It's been called sophomore-itis. They got enough knowledge to be dangerous, but they don't really have any wisdom about what is true or not. Well, the Pharisees, they thought they knew better than the God of all the creation. And Jesus told them, the law and the prophets spoke about my coming, and now, says John the Baptizer, the kingdom of heaven has been presented to you, and you are urged you are directed to enter it. And we need to remember, heaven only is accessible God's way. But the Pharisees thought that their way was better. And Jesus tells them, until heaven and earth pass away, not one dot of the I or crossing of the T or jot or tittle. Not the slightest part of the letter will pass away. Jesus talked to the Pharisees because they were ignoring they thought they were righteous. They thought they were keeping all of God's law. But Jesus pointed out one thing that they were involved with, breaking the commandment of not to commit adultery. Because they had made it so easy to get a divorce that they would divorce their wife because she burnt the toast, divorce the wife because they found someone better looking to them, or any reason. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 24, this is a passage that they misunderstood or misinterpreted. Deuteronomy chapter 24, beginning verse 1. If a man marries a woman, but she becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, he may write her a divorce certificate, hand it to her, and send her away from his home. If after leaving his house he goes and becomes another man's wife, the second man hates her, writes her a divorce certificate, hands it to her, and sends her away from his house, or he dies, the first husband who sent her away may not marry her again after she has been defiled, because that would be the testimony of the Lord. You must not bring guilt on the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. So this passage, which is talking about remarriage after divorce, if you divorce someone and they get married again, you can't go back to them later. It's a prohibition about and a warning. Think seriously before you get a divorce, because you might not be able to go back to that person if you make the wrong choice. But the Pharisee took this and said, oh, all I had to do was write my wife a certificate of divorce, and I'm free to marry somebody else. That's not what that passage meant. It was a warning. Think seriously about the actions you make. And one thing I forgot to mention Sunday when I was talking about the Bible teaching on divorce, that you are allowed to get remarried. But you need to be marrying another believer.
Realize that our life might be a scrambled egg.
But the Pharisees thought they were better than everyone else. And Jesus, by talking about the commandment for divorce, that they're committing adultery when they do that, just for any and every reason, showed them that they were breaking God's law. Now he shows them another commandment, because remember, Jesus had been talking about don't love money, and the Pharisees were scoffing at Jesus, saying, well, wealth is a sign of God's blessing. So Jesus tells them about a situation where there was a rich man and a poor man. The poor man's name happened to be Lazarus. The rich man's name was Philip. Now, this is not the same Lazarus that was a friend of Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead later, but this is another man named Lazarus. And the rich man, it said, he would dress in purple and fine linen. Now, if you want to go and get some purple cloth, that's not that big a deal today. At the time of Jesus, it was very expensive to get purple cloth. Matter of fact, Paul, in his missionary journeys, met this woman, Lydia, who was a seller of purple. The way you got a purple was there was a little sea creature that you crushed, and its blood would dye the clothes in purple, but they're hard to get, and it takes a lot of them to dye some clothes. So if you had purple clothes, that's very expensive. It's like one of those trademark purses or shoes or I don't know, that's a fancy Louis Vuitton. Yeah, Louis Vuitton, yeah. If someone's carrying a real Louis Vuitton purse, you know they spent a lot of money to it, or they had rich relatives and bought it for them, or they approved it for it. They shopped when it's a good deal and found things that people don't know. Sometimes when you're cleaning out a relative's house, there's a lot of things that are very valuable. But this man dressed in the best of clothes, and he ate lavishly every day. He could have steaks laying on the table with all the fixings he wanted, or whatever he wanted. The poor man, he just wants the crumbs. But the poor man didn't receive anything from the rich man. They both died. And the poor man was carried by angels to Abraham's side, which was described as paradise, the place where people that were righteous and sought after God went. When they were waiting for Christ, they were Christ in the sin debt. Jesus hadn't paid our sin debt. And so there were people waiting. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about many people that were righteous. Noah, Abraham, Enoch, and chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is often called a call of faith. But they were all waiting for the coming of the one that paid their sin debt. Abraham was there with Lazarus in company, in paradise. The rich man was in the fires of hell, but he still thinks he's better than Lazarus. He wants Abraham to make Lazarus be the rich man's servant again. Have Lazarus come over here and put some water on my tongue. It's not Can I get a little water? No. I have Lazarus do it. He's nothing. You can just send him. Abraham said, no. Can't happen. Even if Lazarus wanted to go help you, there's a chasm that's been fixed. People can't go from paradise to hell, or from hell to paradise. There's no second chance after you die. You're either in torment or in a place of God's reward. But the rich man said, okay, if he can't come here, send him to my father's house so he can tell my brothers and warn them about this place, they won't come here. Again, the rich man is wanting to direct and look at himself as better than last. Send him to do this. Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. Basically, they have the Bible. The Bible warns them about the consequences of disobeying God. No, 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 says the rich man. If someone comes back from the dead, they will repent. Abraham tells the rich man, they will repent. When they look at the word of God, they're not going to repent. When someone comes back from the dead, turn me to Matthew 28. Jesus has been crucified, laid in a tomb. The chief priests have put guards at the tomb because they remember Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead. Well, an angel comes, rolls the stone away, and all the guards are frozen in fear. Look at verse 11, chapter 28. As they were on their way, some of the guards came to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders and agreed on a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money and told them, say this, his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were sleeping. Someone rose from the dead. And the chief priests and elders did not repent. They created a false story. Another man named Lazarus, turn me to John, Gospel, chapter 11. This Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and he died. Look what happened. Jesus gets to Lazarus' tomb. John chapter 11, beginning verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there's already a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this, so that they may believe you sent me. After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! But the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips, with his face wrapped in the cloth. Jesus said to them, wrap him, and let him go. And then, verse 9 of chapter 12. Then a large crowd of the Jews learned he was there, deeming Jesus. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. Jesus' parable, or Jesus' account of the rich man and the poor man, shown what Abraham said from the missionaries. They wouldn't believe if Jesus rose from the dead, and they didn't believe that Lazarus rose from the dead. They were warned, but they didn't believe the scripture. They thought they were better. Now let me give you just a little bit of teaching about paradise. Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom, to use the King James Version. Look with me, chapter 23 of this. Look at 23 and verse 44. Jesus is on the cross, and he's crucified. He's too critical. Jesus, when one of the criminals repents, verse 23, and he said to him, Jesus said to the criminal, repent. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And in Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus says, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus went to paradise, to Abraham's side, and what was he there for? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took captives captive. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens to fill all things. Jesus, when he died on the cross, went to paradise. Now he's going to take people from paradise to heaven. But what is he doing first? In 1 Peter chapter 3, remember in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 to 40, it said, those Old Testament saints were waiting for the forgiveness of their sins. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Start doing Bible. Those have left. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in the past were disobedient, and God patiently waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So, Jesus descended to paradise and preached to all the people there, do you want to accept my forgiveness of your sin then? And then he ascended and led the captives who were in paradise to heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul tells us, now, once Christ has paid the price of our sin debt, we're in a different situation. Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. When someone dies now, and they're a Christian, they go straight to heaven. The payment of their sin debt was already made. Before Jesus paid the price on the cross, people were waiting for that payment. And Hebrews chapter 9, 22 said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So they were waiting. And at that time, they're waiting. That's where the story, the account of the rich man, in the poor man takes place. It's not the end of time, because the rich man still has brothers on earth. Everybody hasn't died. Jesus hasn't come to make the final judgment. There's people living. But they're all waiting for the kingdom of the Savior. Both the righteous Abraham, Noah, all those who have come to God's Messiah, and forgiveness. They heard the message of Jesus for 3 days. Some say he was stuck in the grave. He was stuck in the grave. He was busy preaching. For those Old Testament saints, he wanted to say, my blood will be forgiven. And I can't sit. Imagine anybody in paradise going, nah, I'm not me. I'd rather go over to the burning place. You let those who are captive in paradise in the heaven. Now, what happened with the old paradise? I don't know if hell. That could take over that territory so there's more room. I don't know. What's an important thing we need to learn? That doesn't mean we can tell us we can. You have to make a decision before you die. And if you don't believe what the scripture says, no miraculous signs can convince you. God's word shows us the truth. And remember, all scripture. Thank you.